right. This is Mr. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza. And today we're coming to you in the Wurmabago from Lincoln, Nebraska. We're over here in Lincoln, Nebraska, and we're liking it a lot. And Mr. Nima Vidati is taking his second to the last Sunday off before coming back from Sunday paternity leave. Next weekend is going to be Mike Makes Right and Stephanie Murphy. And then he's going to be back regularly, I believe, after that on Sundays for Saturdays and Sundays. Today, filling in, we have the incomparable Mr. Bill Buppert. How you doing there, Bill?
Hey, it's a great morning here in Arizona.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And we got a couple little things I want to run by here real quick. One is a great place to get nicotine vapor, because we love it and we use it. It's the Plume Room. That's theplumeroom.com. Tell them the Fiend sent you and use the discount code VAPE2014. That's VAPE2014 to get 10% off. Tell them the Fiend sent you. And of course, we have our Fiends button sale going on. 10 buttons for $10 and a movie. We send you a DVD with a burned copy on it of our Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom movie. And there's also 68 episodes of the Freedom Fiends on that disc extravaganza. I think we make something like 42 cents on each one of those with the everything that goes into them and the postage. And that doesn't even cover going to the post office. So we're basically giving them away. And the other thing is, we got a new show coming up. It's a show that I'm starting on Genesis Communications Network in about a month. I don't have a start date yet for sure, but it's going to be called The Michael Dean After Dark Show. Michael Dean After Dark. And I just finished getting all ready for it last night. I'm going to play y'all the 3-minute demo that we're going to be sending out to stations when we're ready. I'm just so proud of this. I want to play it. It's going to have a bunch of different co-hosts, and Bill, who we have on today, is one of them. So if you like the idea of Michael Dean After Dark, of me being on seven nights a week instead of just 2 weekends, you should call your local station that we're on, ask for the program director, and say, hey, you should get Michael Dean's upcoming show, Michael Dean After Dark. So let's go ahead and listen to this promo right here. It's about 3 minutes long. Enjoy.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark.
We have Mike and Nikki, who are Nikki Darling, who are kind of like volunteers in the Liberty Reserves. They come in, they're part of the Liberty Mental Militia, the Liberty National Guard that's not nationalized. So tell us a little bit each about your journey to liberty from being a filthy statist. Mike, you go first. Give me a little bit.
Well, for me, the big turning point, I was a Democrat, liberal,
ew.
I don't know what you'd want to call it. Yeah, exactly. I had gone through a union drive as a bike messenger, and I thought the unions were the good guys, and I
signed up. I tried to unionize 10 years before you did as a bike messenger in San Francisco in 1986.
We were actually successful, though.
Yeah, I wasn't. I was the only guy who showed up for the strike. My dispatcher called me a cause without a rebel.
And you have said a lot of times, Michael, that behind every law is a gun. You can have a stack of laws as a piece of paper on a desk, and really what makes those things laws is that gun.
Yeah.
That gun is the thing that will be the final arbiter of whether that law is applied or not.
And I say that often, but I didn't come up with that. Basically, Lysander Spooner came up with that. And today is his birthday. We want to wish Lysander Spooner a happy birthday if he's listening out there from heaven.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. This is what radio sounds like now.
It's an open carry state. We can strap on our guns and just drive around. And then we're going to go to some yard sales after the show, because in Wyoming you can have yard sales and sell AK-47s and AR-15s and Mosin Nagant rifles in your front yard, and it's legal.
Without a permit?
Yeah, without a permit. Although, in Casper, to do that, you have to pay $5 to get a permit to have a yard sale. So, Nikki, you used to date Donald Rumsfeld? No, I'm kidding. You've met Donald Rumsfeld. You know Donald Rumsfeld. And tell us the story, Nikki. People want to know.
So I think people need to take a really hard look at that and really, really question the whole idea of law and security. And we all like security, but we don't want to be harassed for just being peaceful.
You can walk around with a gun without a permit, and I'm not doing an ad for people to move here. This is not Free Talk Live. I'm telling people not to move here, man. Wyoming's full. Go home.
I expect absolutely nothing less of the Michael W. Dean.
You know what I always say? He who dies with his art on the most hard drives wins.
We don't have to wait for our radio waves to reach Alpha Centauri.
Apparently
the aliens
they
are here, man.
Yeah, they're here.
The NSA's been listening to it, and they're all aliens anyway.
There's a bunch of huge crows in my backyard. Maybe they're like alien robots, or maybe they're from the NSA. So we want to talk about how the NSA is secretly running the U.S. as a shadow government, and we'll be back with more on that.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. Now on Genesis Communications Network.
Yeah, and that was the 3-minute promo for my upcoming at night, 5 days a week show, Michael Dean After Dark. And again, if you like that, if it's something you'd like to hear, call up your local station, ask for the program director and say, hey, Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Even if you can't remember my name, just say, that Freedom Fiend guy, he's got a new show coming out at night, and I really want to hear that on this station. So, Bill, how is the NSA being a shadow government running America? We talked about that in the promo, so go ahead and tell me.
Well, I would say it's interesting because what we have now is since Snowden, the heroic Snowden,
yes,
had these startling revelations.
Thank him for his service. I really do.
I do. We can genuinely thank him for his service, unlike veterans like myself, who please don't say thank you for my service.
You got a paycheck, right?
I do.
I've thanked people for their service, and they're like, hey, man, I got a paycheck.
That's it.
Yeah, and contractors make like 8 times as much, but they don't even wear an American flag.
It used to be, but there's a severe decrease in the salaries that they used to fetch in Afghanistan, Iraq, and other imperialist mud pits,
yeah,
as it were, around the globe. Because of the bad economy in the United States, it's allowed them to really depress salaries for those people who wish to contract overseas for the Imperium.
Is the ongoing war in dozens of nations that America seems to be wanting to fight in with the highest technology available, is that part of the reason the economy is crashing?
You know, I think it is, because anybody who's read Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt knows that what the government is currently practicing is the broken window fallacy, which is that if Michael Dean has a storefront where Michael Dean's a baker and Bill Pupor passes by and he's a glazier, he fixes glass or makes glass panes, and I hire somebody to throw a rock through your glass pane, so you call Bill Pupor to have him come and install a glass pane, that's called economic activity as far as the government is concerned. But if we take that to its logical extension, and the government has done this overseas, but they haven't done it domestically yet, what we'd want to do is completely destroy one fairly medium-sized American city every year and rebuild it.
Man, that sounds horrible. And you're pounding on your pulpit there. The mic's picking it up. You're literally pounding on the pulpit, I think, which is...
I was pounding.
Yeah, which is not the best thing for the microphone or us listening to it. But it shows your passion. You know, my friend Lusander Fien, who lives near Detroit and spends a lot of time there working, said that his proof of the broken fallacy theory and why it's not true and why it doesn't work is, he said, if broken windows caused prosperity, Detroit would be paved with gold.
He said in one sentence what I just said in several. That was much more eloquent. That was much more eloquent.
Oh, we even made it shorter. We made it into a meme. We put that on a picture of a factory with all the windows broken out of it in Detroit.
Detroit is having a renaissance of sorts with the government backing out. I mean, Karen DeCoster has done a really good job on Lou Ruckwell and other sites where she talks about the way these vacuums that are left by the state supposedly in Detroit are being filled by private security firms, small entrepreneurial activities, community gardens and vacant and abandoned lots and things like that. The market will prevail. It's just like what Jeff Goldblum said in Jurassic Park. Nature will find a way. The market will find a way.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when it gets to the point like that, where the government so-called services, like the electric, like they don't even have the lights on the streets in some parts of Detroit, and the police will not go to some neighborhoods. They'll still give people speeding tickets. They'll still collect money from them, but it's getting very few and far between where the police in Detroit will actually, show up an hour after a crime and bother to even write it down anymore. And so you do have private, reasonably priced private security firms filling the void there. And it gets to the point where all the government's doing is getting in the way. Like, they'll just show up and arrest somebody for providing, fine somebody for providing actual services. You know, it's the blush is off the rose, the fantasy that governments actually provide a service and that's their function, when in reality, their function is control and humiliation and rent seeking and violence. But occasionally they'll like pick up your garbage too. So people think they provide services, or, they'll maintain a road once a year. People don't realize that stuff could all be done much better by the private market. And it gets to the point in places like Detroit where the politicians are just running scared because the emperor has no clothes, and it's obvious that they're naked and all they're doing is sending people to put guns to people's heads.
It bears repeating. No political actor in the history of Eastern or Western civilization can do anything to deprive anybody of their liberty if they don't have a police function in place that works for them.
Well, yeah, that's what the Lysander Spooner thing that was mentioned in that demo, that promo. And, you and I know this like second nature, like the back of our eyelashes or something. We know it to the heart of our hearts. But not everybody knows this thing of like they don't. Once you explain it, you can explain it to like a 10-year-old and they get it. And once you explain it to somebody who isn't brainwashed to the point where they love the state like they love their mother, they get it. And what it is that I'm talking about them getting is this idea that all laws are backed by the threat of violence. They are backed by the threat of a cop putting a gun to your head and either killing you or taking you to a cage. And if you don't believe that, I'm not telling anybody to disobey any laws, but try it. Look at anybody who disobeys a law. If a cop pulls you over for going 1 mile over the speed limit in a place where there's no other cars, it's safe, they pull you over anyway, and you say, I don't want to pay that ticket. The cop will eventually, he'll scream at you a bit. He'll tell you to get out of the car. And if you don't do what he says, he will pull his gun and point it at your head. And if you don't do what he says, he'll either kill you or take you away and put you in a cage. And without that gun, laws are just suggestions. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends with special co-host Bill Buppert when we come back from this trip from the real market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
is Mr. Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend Extravaganza, Talk Radio, Musical Worms. So we got a little news you can use here real quick, and we're going to be taking phone calls after this break coming up. So if you want to call in and you're listening live, which would mean it's 11:23 Mountain Time or 12 noon 23 Central Time, if you're not listening delayed and you can do math and figure out that you're actually listening live wherever you are, you will be able to call in. We'll be giving the number out after the next ad break, after this short little segment here. We got some news you can use real quick. Bill was bumping his table and his mic was picking it up. It's a little table stand mic. And I said, hey man, just fold up a t-shirt into quarter of the way and put it underneath it. And he did it. Now hit your table. Now you're just hearing through the air, not through the table. And through the table was much louder and sounded like someone banging on my head. So on the Freedom Fiends, we often have news you can use, and we have little audio tips. I actually do an audio tip blog called creamyradioaudio.com if you want to go learn more about how to get cat food, caviar sound on a cat food budget is what we call it. So, Bill, you're a fan of the first movie we're talking about?
Die Hard.
And you liked the first one, but by the third one, you said you were rooting for the bad guy. You're rooting for the hackers, right?
For Timothy Oliphant, yeah. Whether that was three or four, I was rooting for Timothy Oliphant because he was trying to do the right thing. But then again, that's because John, the main character and hero or anti-hero of Die Hard, is a cop, and he behaves like cops do, which is no regard whatsoever for civilian casualties and property damage, because he knows that with qualified immunity,
someone else will
the residents of the city will take care of that.
Someone else, he'll be like, you mop it up. I made the mess.
You mop up that F-16 yes, that crashed to the bridge. Yes. Yeah.
But interesting thing about Die Hard. Okay, the cryptocurrency Bitcoin, which I'm a fan of and you're a fan of too, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. The person who invented it, person or persons, used the fictitious name Satoshi Nakamoto, and his identity has been conjectured to be a bunch of different mathematicians and cryptographers, and nobody really knows who it is. But here's what's interesting. Nakamoto, the last name that he picked, is a Japanese name whose meaning is given as wise, clear-thinking, quick-witted, or having intelligent ancestors, which is probably all the reason he picked that name. It's a great name for a guy who's changing the world and probably has, I have heard, they've estimated he has 1 million Bitcoin, which means he is a billionaire. But my wife just instantly got this and I'd forgotten this. Nakamoto is the name of the towers in the first Die Hard. And Mr. Nakamoto is the CEO of the company. He appears early on in the movie. He's one of the people taken prisoner. He's touring America. He's come from Japan to America to look at his company. Do you remember that? Nakamoto Towers.
I do remember that, and it reminds me of this adage I heard recently, because I just came back from the Philippines on a scouting recce for expatting, that America and the West have great capitalist but terrible capitalist conditions, whereby the Pacific Rim, to include Japan, has great capitalist conditions but terrible capitalists.
Except in Singapore, right? Or Singapore or Hong Kong? Which one?
You know what? Singapore and Hong Kong, both completely different kinds of locations. Yeah.
They're,
you know,
they're like the one West is, in the East, aren't they, in a way?
They are, and Singapore is a very authoritarian state.
Hmm.
I mean, you get caned for littering there.
Okay, then I shan't mix them up. And Hong Kong is more like, one of those not-too-distant future anti-utopians like, what's the one where it rains all the time? And there's graffiti on the...
I know what you're talking about. It's a Philip K. Dick novel.
Yeah, that one. Yep. Blade Runner. Yeah, like that's kind of totalitarian, but it's also kind of like totalitarianism like that would be, to where the police just can't keep up, so there's black markets that are awesome.
Well, on our trip over to the Philippines, my wife was asking me after Hong Kong, because we had to fly through Hong Kong to get to the Philippines because of the air carrier that we used. The air carrier, by the way, was Cathay Pacific, which is a great air carrier because, unlike American flagged airlines, I'm not an inmate, I'm a customer, and they treat me like that. And that was a really nice change of pace. Hong Kong is like the golden goose that the Chinese refuse to cook. But I would also say, when I look at Chinese behavior around the planet compared to American behavior around the planet, the Chinese are everywhere. They're in South America, they're in Africa, they're all over Southeast Asia. They have probably capitalized, finance, and pay the rent on all the large first world malls that are in the Philippines and other Southeast Asian countries. What they're investing in is money now and money in the future in real estate, consumer goods, those kind of things. They're not using so much of their economy as America is in exporting violence.
Yep. And when we come back from the market, we'll talk more about all this and about expatting, leaving America for more freedom, or so you don't get murdered by the goon squads that are here and coming more. Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and I love the Plume Room nicotine liquid for all my e-vaping pleasure.
And I'm DJ Dean, the fiend behind the scene. We exclusively use the Plume Room Artisan e-liquid. The Plume Room vape juice is made lovingly in America by the talented mad mixtress Andrea. It's not mass-produced or stored in stockpile. The Plume Room has 25 flavors, and almost a third of them are Spin Fuel Award winners.
Tell them the fiend sent you and use the discount code VAPE2014 to get 10% off at theplumeroom.com. That's theplumeroom.com.
This is Mr. Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza with our guest today, filling in for Mr. Neva Vidotti. We have Bill Bupert, who's a all around good guy, man about town. He's kind of he reminds me of the most interesting man in the world, the guy in those commercials. Like, literally, we've got that guy on here today. And I want to give out the call-in number. The call-in number, if you want to call and you're live, listening live, which means it's noon 30 in Central Time, you can call us and talk about liberty or tyranny or your cat or microphones. We know a lot about liberty, tyranny, cats, and microphones and guns. We like guns. So the number is 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. And we're going to go to the phones now. We've got Jim from Reading, PA. Can you hear us there, Jim? Hello, Jim?
Yes.
Jim, is this Jim from Reading, PA? How you doing, man?
Cold.
Cold. What station are you listening to us on?
830. WEEU.
Huh. On the radio?
Yeah.
830 WEEU. That's a new station to me. I'm going to have to look them up and call them and say, hey, we want to do some free promos and demos for you. What town is that station in?
Reading.
Reading. Wow. We have a new affiliate. We'd like to welcome our new affiliate in Reading, WEEU, 830 AM. So, Jim, you wanted to talk about roses?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I think I really have the wrong guy here. There was a garden guy on our station.
Yeah, man, we're talking about libertarianism and tyranny and but you know, we like roses, we like cats. We like microphones. That's our we don't know much about roses, but if you want to tell us something in about 20 seconds about roses that's really cool, we'd like to hear it.
Well, I read an article that the multiflora rose, that's a wild rose that grows here. Has a virus and it's getting over into the other roses, and I just wondered what I could do, you know, for it. But evidently, you can't help me a whole lot.
No, we'd probably tell you to, like, use a flamethrower and then salt the earth so nothing would ever grow again, and that probably wouldn't be good gardening advice, would it?
Well, it would keep the weeds down.
Yeah, I think what may be happening is, and this happens a lot because we get calls, people get calls for us. Some stations play some shows delayed, like they play them an hour or two or three after, because they want to do the show, but they already have like Rush Limbaugh or some old cranky guy that's like a rock star and everyone thinks they want to listen to him. So they're probably playing that show, the Roses show, they're probably playing it delayed. And I think that's it. We have the same calling number.
Good talking to you.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
Anyway.
All right. Take care, brother, man. Worms. Bye. That was interesting. So, Bill, what do you know about roses?
I don't know much at all about roses, but my wife is a master gardener, and her grandmother just so happened to know hundreds of variety of roses that she could identify by smell, sight, and rooting.
Wow. See, now if this were my new upcoming show, the one at night, which is going to be even more freeform than The Fiends, if that guy had called in, what would have been really cool? Good radio, if your wife were awake, would be for you to answer it, interrupt me and say, my wife knows a lot about roses. We'd put her on to answer his question. That's the way we roll, man. Yeah.
Indeed. And of course, roses are a terrific example of how markets work.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit, and then talk about tulips and why Bitcoin is not the tulip bubble.
I can't address why Bitcoin is not the tulip bubble because Bitcoin is not mature enough for us to know whether that's the case or not, because the future is 2020 hindsight right now.
Well, I think you should explain why roses are a good example of the market, what the tulip bubble is, and then I'll explain why Bitcoin is not the tulip bubble, because I do believe I can answer that.
Okay, great. So roses are a result of the market, because we're going all over the map here, but you allow that.
Yeah, man. That's,
we happen to be paleo dieters. No.
You are. Oh, you and your wife are?
Right, exactly.
See, I have a problem with English. I like English. I'm very good with English, but there's one thing that other languages have that English doesn't, that I wish English had, was pronouns that are singular and plural. Like in Spanish, there's a word for we, meaning you and I, or we, meaning me and someone else who's not in the room. That would be really useful here.
It would be useful, but we don't have that, unfortunately. Okay, and there's another problem with we, too, which is and one of my friends online. Exactly. Yeah. One of my friends is always admonishing me, rightly so, and saying, Bill, whenever you talk about the U.S. government, never say we. And he's correct.
Yeah.
Because when we do that, we're linguistically buying into that. It's sort of like whenever the difference between the United States and these United States.
I don't even want to get into like sovereign citizen-y, you know, armchair lawyering like that. And there is a difference, and I do know that the Constitution contains one and not the other for some certain reason. But that really has nothing to do, I think, with where we're at now. I think it's just the fact that there was a government. But here's a tip. Whenever anybody says to anybody, what we need to do is – and they're not talking about the company you work at, and they're not talking about your family. When anyone says, what we need to do, when they're talking about society, they really mean the government. And what they really mean is what I want the government to do by pointing guns at you. So whenever anybody says to you, what we need to do, those people want you dead if you disagree with them, literally.
Indeed, depending on your level of resistance. You know, one of my favorite reposts to people who see me open carrying a gun in public spaces is they'll say, why are you carrying that? And I say that I'm provisioning for my own self-defense because I think it's immoral to impose that upon others without their consent.
Yeah, that just goes whoosh right over most people's heads.
What it frankly means is that why would you be presumptuous enough to think that I'm provisioning for my own self-protection and that's wrong, but if it's a badged, uniformed thug who works for the state, that's right. I mean, that's what their imagination tells them.
You know, it's more fun than that. And I haven't tried this yet and I wouldn't recommend it, but it would be more fun when someone, you know, like when you're out in public with a lot of people around and, you know, you're open carrying and like, you know, the funny thing is the first time you do that, you think it's this bold statement. And if you do it in a place like Wyoming, the thing you find out is you go out to Walmart, you go out to dinner, you go out to a few other places, you find out like nobody even really notices it. You know, it's not as big of a thing as you think it is the first time you do it. But
it's the same thing here in Arizona.
Yeah. I think it'd be pretty funny though if somebody were open carrying a gun, you know, like let's say I was, and somebody said, why are you doing that? And if instead of giving them a cogent answer like you did, if I just started yelling, gun, 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 that'd probably get me shot. But yeah.
I think that would draw unwanted attention to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the most undesirable attention, which would be the aforementioned badge thugs.
Do you know that cat in Arizona that was in the news? It was a black guy who open carried an AR-15 to an Obama event. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. And you remember the way the news organizations photoshopped it.
They cropped out his race. They literally
did.
I mean, that's a lot of work to do because he had his hands on the gun. He was wearing a suit. He looked very respectable and, you know, like collegiate or something. He has glasses and he hates Obama and he's a black guy and he's a gun guy. And he brought a so-called assault rifle. It's not really assault rifle because it's not switchable action, but he brought that to an Obama event and made national news. And that was shortly after a buddy of mine did the same thing with a handgun with a sidearm in New Hampshire. Remember that?
I do remember that. You know what it is? It's because most journalists are collectivist mouthpieces for the state. There's no such thing as independent media in America except your show and just a few others, but the mainline newspapers and such. But we could go back 3 decades to South Africa when there was the disinvestment thing going on. And on page one, the South African whites would murder in the Soweto township six blacks. That's page one. But page 17 is Hutus and Tutsis killing hundreds of thousands of each other. And that's on page 17. But that's because the journalists had failed to hide their agenda, which is they expect that behavior from blacks instead of whites.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing as racist as mainstream media calling somebody else racist. I think it's really racist that they hid that guy's race, because I think it was, if nothing else, it was newsworthy that a black guy brought an angry black guy brought a rifle to an Obama event. Now, the thing is, I have respect for his chutzpah for doing that, but I wouldn't do it. And the reason is, I don't want to go anywhere near Obama or any president. Like, when Obama came to town, he came to our state. He went to Jackson, you know, the San Francisco of Wyoming on the other side of the state. You know, he went there a couple of years ago for something. And like, my wife and I left the state for the day and we went to Colorado until he was gone. I don't want to be in the same state with him. And it's not even, it's not a thing of like, oh, he's so distasteful. Well, he is, but it's like, I can't see him if he's in Jackson and I'm over near Casper. But the thing is, literally, your life is in danger when the president comes to your area. I mean, an example, it doesn't even have to be the president. There was a guy in Colorado who was a deer hunter, a permitted law-abiding gun owner. They like to say that. Wonder what they're all going to say when guns are illegal. If they're going to learn to break laws, they're going to have to if they want to be gun owners and don't want to give them up.
Most are FUDs, and most will give them up, and the cops will come and get them, even though you hear the Oath Keepers saying they won't, but they'll do what they're told.
Oh, they won't bring the Oath Keepers to do that. They'll leave the Oath Keepers home.
No, the Oath Keepers will go with them, and they'll take them away from you.
Really? You think the Oath Keepers won't keep the oath?
I do not.
Wow.
I think they'll do whatever it takes to keep their salaries.
Yeah, or not be, you know, if they're military Oath Keepers, they'll do whatever they want to stay out of the stockades, because that'd be disobeying an order.
Look, if they were Oath Keepers, they would do no drug busts whatsoever, nor participate in them.
Or pull anyone over for running a red light. Yeah.
Indeed. Or speeding tickets or all that. So
they would protect and serve instead of protect and sever, is what you're saying?
Well, I think that they would. I just think they'll do what they're told, Michael.
Yeah. So there was a guy in Colorado who's a deer hunter who, you know, had his deer tag. He went to some town in Colorado a couple of years ago and got a hotel and was going to make a weekend of it and had camping equipment and was going to go out and camp and hunt and all legal, all permitted. He was walking through the lobby of his hotel with his unloaded rifle in a rifle sack in his rifle carrying case. And Secret Servicemen walked up to him and arrested him because Nancy Pelosi was staying in that hotel. He had no idea Nancy Pelosi was outside of D.C., let alone in his hotel. He got arrested for carrying his legally owned rifle in a hotel that he'd booked 6 months in advance. So, you know, when the president or someone like that comes to my state, I leave the state, literally.
I think that's wise counsel. And the thing is, there are so many laws on the books that every one of us is just the reason you and I, Michael, are not in a jail cell right now is because they haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, and we're going to talk when we get back about why you're planning on leaving America for more freedom in Iran. No, I'm kidding. You're not going to Iran. Russia, maybe? No, I don't know. We'll talk about it when we get back. We'll be Bill Buepert on Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio musical show.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends. That's what we're talking about. This is Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza Show. We're talking to Bill Buebert today. Bill Buebert, what is the name of your book and where can people get it?
It is Zero Gov, Limited Government, Unicorns, and Other Mythological Creatures. It is available on Kindle on Amazon.
Cool. I was going to talk a little bit about process. I was going to talk real quick about how I made that demo this morning that I played earlier. And I have this saying, everything that can be done has been done. Being a great artist now consists simply of being a great editor. And literally, the way I do art is process of elimination. Like, I get all my source materials together, whatever they are, and then push away the stuff that doesn't work. And like, literally, you know, whether it's sculpture, which I used to do when I was younger, or making a demo, like I went through about 20 shows and picked out chunks where I'd had people on other than Nima, basically the people I'm going to have on the show, and found the stuff that's going to be like this show. And I made a timeline of it that was like 27 minutes long. I'm like, okay, I have to get this down to 3 minutes. I just took subsequent passes through it, compared one clip to another, said, that one's not as good as this one, delete. This one is as good as this one, but this one doesn't have as good sound quality because she was using a headset mic instead of a good mic, delete. And just went through until I got it down to 3 minutes, then moved it around a bit, moved the order around till it kind of flowed. And then went through a bunch of different music I'd done, tried making some new music for it. And I was like, no, I have some music that I did in 1991 that I've never used on radio that worked really well. And I put it under there and then I output it and listened to it on headphones and listened to it on a speaker and on a boombox. And was like, okay, got to tweak the EQ a little bit. And that's how I do stuff. It's process of elimination. How do you write books? How do you go about it? People like to know about that because a lot of people want to do that.
Number one, I'd recommend Scrivener. And number two, the first book you write is the most difficult book you write. And after that, it's not so difficult. I'm embarking on two more books I'll be writing this year. One's a thriller, a fiction novel, and the other one's nonfiction about Lysander Spooner. It's a process that you have to dedicate yourself to as a job. I mean, you have to look at it as a job, and you have to look at all the tools that we have with us today. Especially, we don't have to use typewriters.
What's Scrivener? You said Scrivener.
Scrivener, S-C-R-I-V-E-N-E-R, is a writing assistance program suite. That has a whole lot of, I recommend everybody check it out. Those of you who are aspiring authors, accomplished authors, whatever the case may be, it's a tremendous tool bag and toolkit to use to write better. You know, whether you use the snowflake method for writing a novel, or you set out an outline first, or you just sit down at the computer with a Word doc and you start punching away, whatever your methodology is, over time, you're going to learn what's going to work best.
What's the snowflake method? I write for a living. I have 12 published books. I've been paid to write 8 of them. And I don't know what that is. That's my method is like use Microsoft Word and start typing and then basically do the same thing that I just said with the audio, but with words of moving them around, et cetera.
What you really have to do, though, is you have to have an outline in order to do it. If you don't have an outline, you're really going to have problems.
At least in your head. I mean, you know, it's best to write it down, but you have to have an outline at least in your head. You know, I would say.
But I would say you have it in your head. But what happens is once you do have it in your head, what's going to happen is your characters will take on a life of their own if you've designed them properly. And what you had planned on happening as you write these interactions and these arcs and these dramatic turns and the foibles and the failures and things, because that's what makes it interesting, is imperfect people. Once these imperfect people start having their interactions with each other, they're going to take on an evolutionary life of their own that may send you in directions that you didn't intend on when you first started writing.
Yeah, there's something I've heard along those lines that I've found to be very true, is that drama movies are directed for a second time in the editing room, and documentaries are directed for the first time in the editing room. Like literally the way you make a documentary is you have an idea of something you want to say. You film people who are going to either say strongly what you believe or be the opposite, be the bad guy. You put it all in a timeline and then you start chopping it down and making it shorter and moving stuff around. Then you realize you have to go out and shoot some more things to fill in some holes. And that's the way I write. And that's the way I direct films. We'll be back with more after this trip to the market for hour two of the Freedom Fiends talk radio show. Today we got Bill Buppert filling in for Mr. Nima Vadadi. We're talking about, we generally talk about liberty and tyranny, but today we're talking also about process of making art from people who've been there. So if you're interested in writing books, making movies, or doing radio, we're going to give you some tips and tell you what worked for us in hour two of the Freedom Fiends talk radio musical extravaganza. Worms. Say worms, Bill.
Worms.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
This is Michael W. Dean. You're listening to The Freedom Fiends. You can go to freedomfiends.com, learn more about our show. You can buy our buttons, and you can go to theplumeroom.com to get wonderful, yummy vapes. I'm sitting here vaping on. If you like e-liquids, nicotine, go to theplumeroom.com. Tell them the Fiends sent you and use the discount code VAPE2014, VAPE2014. I slept 2 hours last night. Speaking of process, I was up working on that demo that I played earlier for my upcoming show, Michael Dean After Dark, which is going to start in a month on GCN at nights. I'm still going to be doing The Fiends in the day. So if you want to hear more me and my buddies, call your local station and say, hey, I heard that guy from The Fiends is starting a new show at night. I want it on. Call him up and tell him that. Ask for the program director. So generally on talk radio, a lot of people, including us, just sit around and talk about how horrible the president is. That's what talk radio pretty much is. But today we've taken an interesting turn and we're talking about our process. I'm an author. I've written 12 books that have been published. I got paid to write 8 of them, 4 of my self-published. The best-selling book of them is called $30 Film School. It's a how-to on video that I wrote. I started writing it when like most people didn't know what digital video was, before YouTube was out. And it's got a lot of timeless tips in it, and you can get it at Amazon or in bookstores. $30 Film School, it's $30. And people said, I have a friend that went to film school and spent $30,000 and said this $30 book he should have bought instead and spent the money on making films. And I made a movie with Robert Downey Jr. narrating it. It's called Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow, and a whole bunch of other films that I've made and books I've made. I don't even make money at radio, really. We pretty much cover our expenses. We're working on getting more advertisers and more affiliates. If you'd like to advertise, we're inexpensive. $200 per month for a 30-second slot on Saturdays and Sundays. Talk to us on thefreedomfiends.com. And I'm talking to Bill Buppert today, who's an author. He wrote Zero Gov. Say it again. Zero Gov, Unicorns, and Other.
It's a Unicorn, Limited Government, Unicorns, and Other Mythological Creatures.
Yeah.
It's a compilation of essays that I wrote over time.
Yep. And we're going to talk a little more later about how to write and how to get published and how to make money doing stuff. But we got a phone caller here. We got a guy named Ben calling from, I don't know where he's calling from. Are you there, Ben? Are you on the phone?
I'm here.
Cool, man. Are you
Ben Stone?
You know, have you heard, you've heard our guest, right? Bill Buppert. You've read something by him before?
Oh, yeah. Bill's one of my favorite people. He is a genuine Renaissance man. I really appreciate his writing and his work.
Yeah, he's kind of like the Hemingway of Liberty, I think. He's like the most the most interesting man in Liberty. So what's up, Ben?
Well, I had two things. One, I wanted to answer the question about the Rose Garden. That mostly rose, the problem with roses is generally a virus will attack the rose, and those are spread two different ways commonly. One is by mites, tiny, not the big mites that you see, but tiny little mites that are so small that they blow around in the breeze and will get on your roses. That's why you, if you're a rose gardener, you have to dust. You have to use mite dust or some kind of, or you can use predators. That's really a successful way of doing it as well. But the other way, the most common probably way that rose virus is spread is by you using a dirty cutting instrument to prune or to trim roses. Anyway, I know that's not normally the topic of
that's
show.
Cool, man. And that guy's not even listening anymore. He was listening to some other show delayed on a station in a town that we're not even on. But yeah, what else is up, man? That's good news you can use, though. But what else is up?
The other thing I wanted to ask Bill's point of view on what's going on in Ukraine right now. I assume, Bill, that you've been following that or at least are up to date on it. And I was
indeed I have
to hear.
Go ahead,
I was
Bill.
Curious to hear your opinion on that.
Ben, I'm conflicted about it because
first of all, briefly, can you tell in two sentences or three what's going on in Ukraine? Because we're assuming everyone knows, but they might not. They might have been living in a cave. So go ahead and tell what's going on in the Ukraine first.
The Ukraine, of course, is a client state of Russia and used to be a part of the USSR until it fell away during that glacial collapse in 1989 and 91. The Ukrainian president is a thug, as most political actors are thugs. He has been flirting with going into the EU, but Russia doesn't want him to go into the EU, so he's bridging over a river with one leg on each bank. But for the most part, he is doing what Russia wishes him to do because that's his most proximate foe. Most of these protesters, from what we know, are articulating a desire to join the European Union because they assume, and I think wrongly so, that they will be more prosperous as a nation. So I'm sort of – and I'm conflicted on two levels. Number one, I think that wanting to join the EU is like – a 51st state aspirant in the USSA wanting to join the federal government Leviathan. And two, I don't know about this violent protest business and whether this kind of violence will get them what they want. Here's what surprises me the most, Ben, in watching this. The thing that strikes me the most is that if these protesters were doing this very same thing in any state in the USSA, U.S. cops would have gone to guns immediately,
murdered
and
them.
There would have been hundreds of maimed and killed men, women, and children in the aftermath.
Yeah, they're burning. So that they're burning me buses. Very interesting. They're burning buses and knocking them over. And you know, a third thing that I would say about the whole thing too is, you know, the European Union is an uber state collection of states. It's kind of like the UN crossed with individual countries. It's not a good idea, but. In a libertarian paradise, you would be free to associate with anyone you wanted. And if you wanted to join a union of other Europeans for any collective goal, there'd be nothing to stop you from doing it. And that'd be a good thing. Whereas their president of the Ukraine, right? He's stopping them from joining it.
Well, he is. And what you're flirting with is what's called a panarchy or a panarchical hierarchical notion where if communists want to live in a collective in a village next to you, as long as they don't screw around with you, that's fine. But from my awareness of how guerrilla activities work, irregular warfare, and counterinsurgency and insurgencies, there's something that Kilcullen talks about called oil spots. And that oil spot of a communist village is going to intrude upon the libertarian dystopia that Ben, Michael, and Bill would live in right next door, and we would constantly have to find ways to push that red tide back.
Yeah, but and that was the theory behind the Cold War and why one of the reasons America went to war with Russia through the Vietnamese was they wanted to allegedly stop the spread of communism. You can stop the spread of communism without murdering communists.
Well, the Chinese communists are showing us that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I also it's interesting about Vietnam. There are so many epiphanies I've gotten later in life when it comes to warfare and war fighting and things like that, having spent most of my adult life in the legions.
Yeah, when you say, you know, with what I know about irregular warfare, you're not saying, you know, you picked up understanding the Middle East for dummies. You've spent the last bunch of years over there after being an officer in the U.S. Army. You've gone back as a consultant, basically telling the Army how to fight irregular warfarers, right? Warfarers?
Well, to a certain extent, to a lesser extent, because one thing the U.S. military does very well is technology. One thing it does very poorly is fighting successful conflicts. And the third thing that it does is do anything with a moral compass, because in the end, and Ben and Michael, you'll probably think I'm a broken record, the only just war is the war fought on your own soil in defense of your home and car. That's it. There's no other just war. So everything the U.S. has done since 1893, I am hard-pressed to justify any of it.
Yeah, and you've been in battle. You're not a theorist. You're not an armchair person about this, right? Right?
You can't talk about it. I've been around the block. I've seen the elephant. But you know what? I think I mentioned this to you before, Michael, when we talked offline, and I may have mentioned this to Ben. Those guys who you run into in the bar or at the local Veteran of Foreign Wars bar, or whatever the case may be, who are eloquently talking to you for hours on end about their combat actions are probably fakers, because you just don't want to talk about it because it's so unpleasant and there's a secret shame to it that I will take with me to my grave.
It's kind of like the bikers say, those who say they are aren't, and those who say they aren't are. And I'm not trying to get you to tell war stories, no pun intended. I'm just saying for our audience, you know, if they're just tuning in, they don't know who you are. They might just think, oh, this is some guy talking about stuff from something he read from the paper. I'm doing the good radio thing of just giving a little bit of bio, enough so people know that you have some weight to what you're saying.
Sure. War is an awful thing, and war is worse when you're in it.
Yeah. So, Ben, does that answer your question? I'm sure you have follow-ups. We'd love to hear them.
Yeah, actually, I'd like to just sew together two things that Bill said there. You know, he mentioned the Oath Keepers in the last hour, and his expectations of their reaction is exactly what I've been saying about Oath Keepers for years. I mean, they may have great intentions, and they may look great on paper and everything like that, but when the time comes that you start seeing the things in the United States that we're seeing in Ukraine, the Oath Keepers are going to cock that pistol and pull the trigger.
Or they're going to stay home because the paychecks stop coming. They're going to stay home and protect their own family and house and car. And again, I try to explain everything we're talking about Oath Keepers as if everyone knows what that means. Oath Keepers is an organization. It's a good idea. It's basically an ex-military guy who started an organization where he gets liberty-minded, you know, soldiers and cops to honor their oath to the Constitution. And the ones that I have hope for, I mean, you guys are both saying that the active duty in both aren't going to disobey orders because they'll, you know, lose their job at best or end up, you know, facing treason charges and hanged at worst for refusing those orders. But the ones I kind of have hope for are actually the retired ones, you know, the people who are in the military or in the police who believe in some amount of liberty and are not beholden to a check anymore.
You know, I'll buy that. But I full disclosure, Stuart Rhodes and I are friends and correspondents. He's the founder of Oath Keepers, and I have the highest respect for him. But yeah. The contretemps that he and I suffer is that I believe that what we're living under today is the Constitution good and hard. This is what the Constitution was designed to construct, was this huge Leviathan police state that all of us are laboring under. So it's like, what's the descriptive value linguistically of the term unconstitutional? I think both of you would answer none.
Well, the fiends take heat for this, for saying that we don't believe in the Constitution, because most Americans grew up in government schools being brainwashed to that and believe it like a religion. But you have to actually read it beyond the Bill of Rights to realize that it exists to set up the federal government we have now, plain and simple. We'll have more with the Freedom Fiends when we get back from this trip to the market with Ben Stone and Bill Buepert.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
This is the Freedom Fiends talk radio show. And we were talking right before the break with Bill Buepert and Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and it's snowing here in Lincoln, Nebraska, where I am in the mobile command unit recording studio that we bought from the Rolling Stones on eBay for $99 or something like that. And we were talking about the Constitution and how shocking it is to some people when I say I'm not a constitutionalist, because I hate liberals and they want to get rid of the Constitution and replace it with something worse. And conservatives are like, they venerate the Constitution, but then again, they venerate Ronald Reagan as a small government guy. He actually expanded the government, added gun laws, and raised taxes. So he's not a very good conservative hero. But the Bill of Rights is great. I love it. What I like even more is the Declaration of Independence. But the body of the Constitution proper, from the very first article of it, basically say the government can lay and collect taxes, and there's no limits on it, man. And I hate to say it, but when Nancy Pelosi says, you know, when someone said, what in the Constitution allows you to pass Obamacare? And she said, the general welfare clause. I hated that, but she was probably right. It's kind of horrifying, but it's probably true when you really read that thing. And
it's even worse than that, Michael.
Well, this is really offensive to some people, but we sell buttons for the Freedom Fiends, 10 buttons for $10. It's two sets of five buttons. And one of the buttons has a picture of a sheep with somebody writing script on it with a pen, like the Constitution. And the button says, buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep. And that's actually a line that Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, came up with when we were running this back and forth, because I found out the Constitution, people say, is written on hemp. No, drafts of it were written on hemp, but hemp was the cheap paper. Vellum is what you used for the archival documents, and the Constitution, which was actually a bunch of copies of the document. They didn't just make one. But they wrote it on vellum, which is sheepskin. So the Constitution is by sheep, for sheep, on sheep. And I hate, you know, people that love the Constitution use the word sheep all the time, too. But what you have to really realize is, well, tell us what you have to realize, Bill. Why are you not a constitutionalist, even though you're more of a liberty guy than a lot of constitutionalists like myself?
Because I think primarily because of my influence by both Kenneth Royce and Lysander Spooner in teaching me what the Constitution is.
Kenneth Royce, Boston Tea Party. Yeah, Boston Tea Party. He wrote a book called The Hologram of Liberty. And Boston has a lot of great pithy statements. One is, we were talking before about, like, you know, people who will or won't obey the Constitution when they outlaw guns, who will stick up for it and obey their oath. He had a great line about non-oath keeping, just gun owners. He said, you know, all these people that say, you know, bayonet polishers who are like, I'll never get up my guns. He said that something like, you know, three quarters or more of them, when they outlaw guns and say, you know, you're going to go to federal pound me in the wherever prison for 10 years if you get caught with one bullet, which they're probably going to do eventually. When they do that, he said three quarters or more of the gun owners they're hobbyists. They will quietly get rid of their guns and switch over to radio controlled model airplanes.
Look, there's no doubt about it. And alluding to what you said about Ronald Reagan being a gun grabber with the 1986 McClure-Volkmer Act that he signed into law, that was just awful. It froze machine gun guns. Manufacturing. It increased licensing, made it extremely difficult to mail order guns. We look at the 1934 National Firearms Act regulating automatic firearms. In 1967, it was the Black Panthers with arms protesting on the steps in Sacramento that caused Ronald Reagan to be one of the primary inspirations for the 1968 Gun Control Act, which is probably one of the most notorious gun prohibition and disarmament acts. You go to 1986, you go to the Nixon check, you go to Bush 1 and Bush 2, who were both hoplophobes of the highest order. And what you have is you say, the Second Amendment, well, what does the Second Amendment mean and what purpose does it serve if you can pass all of this? And not only does it pass congressional muster and executive muster, but the Supreme say, yea and verily, we can put those restrictions on it. In the Heller decision in D.C., where Heller wanted a pistol in D.C., D.C. is a very hard place to own a firearm of any type in your home. We have one of the most conservative clerics on the Supremes saying, well, we are going to accept, quote, dangerous and unusual weapons, which is a code word for anything that the government doesn't like as far as your weaponry is concerned, especially peer weaponry to military arms.
Yeah. Hey, I want to actually say goodbye to Ben Stone and take this other caller here, because it says it's Chris from Everett, Washington, and he's a liberal naysayer. Go ahead, liberal naysayer, Chris.
What's going on, guys?
Are you really a liberal naysayer?
I would probably identify more as a democratic socialist.
Okay.
You could say.
And you're listening to the Freedom Fiends?
Yes.
Why? Is this like research? Are you paid to spy, or are you writing a paper for college?
No, I do counter intel pro every now and then to see what you guys are talking about.
All right. So
I just wanted to get your go ahead.
Why don't you stick around after the break here, and we'll talk to you more, okay?
Cool, sounds good.
Cool, man. Thanks. Stick around on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net. This is the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio musical extravaganza show where all kinds of people can call in and tell us what's on their mind and we'll tell them why they're wrong. No, I'm kidding. So I've been sitting here talking with Bill Buepert, who's the author of what's your book again, Bill? It's a long title.
Zero Gov, Limited Government Unicorns and Other Mythological Creatures.
Yep. And you can get it on Amazon for Kindle.
Yes, you can.
And this is Michael Dean, and Bill is filling in today for Mr. Nima Vidati, who has a 7 or 8 week old daughter, and he's been taking Sundays off for paternity leave. He's been here on Saturdays, and he's been out on Sundays. He's got 2 more Sundays out, and then he's going to return to Real Radio. And then a couple weeks after that, I'm going to be starting another show. So I'm going to be on the radio 7 days a week. I'm starting another show at night on our same network, GCN. The show is going to be called Michael Dean After Dark. So if you can't get enough of me and my buddies, and it's always buddies, it's never just me. If you can't get enough of it, of this, you call your radio station. You can call your radio station, ask for the program director and say, I hear that guy from the Freedom Fiends is starting a new show. So I'd love to hear that. So kick one of those old guys, those old square guys off. Not old, just they've been on too long. It's time for them to gently step aside, go enjoy their great grandbabies, and put some real feistiness on the radio. So we got a caller here. We got Chris calling from Everett, Washington, and he says he's a liberal naysayer. So what does that mean, Chris?
I guess I'm just trying to understand the whole, your guys' libertarian, well, I guess what you would call religion, right? I mean, what, it just seems like it's a zero sum game. I mean, if you guys said like last hour the program that when we have people say like we, right, and you have people that are probably insinuating like some sort of government, like we the people, the preamble of the Constitution, I mean, it kind of seems like it's we the people or our elected representatives or them the corporations, like the corporate elite, right?
Well, so first of all, corporations,
go ahead.
A lot of people have I get your question. A lot of you want to know what we believe and why we believe it. So a lot of people play things of either it's left or right or it's big government. Or if you have small government, you're going to have corporations running the world and destroying everybody's health. So the thing you have to understand, first of all, is corporations are a legal fiction that only exists because of government. You're rubbing on your phone there? Are you rubbing it all over yourself? I'm getting a lot of noise from you there, Chris.
No, I'm slicing up some potatoes.
Okay, do you want to care enough that you're talking to 100,000 people to actually stop, please, for a minute? Because it's really loud. It's so loud. It's louder than you're talking. Here's what I'm hearing, man. I'm hearing this, and it's like I'm trying to talk. Oh. So you asked me a question, but
gotcha.
You're busy making potatoes. I understand. I'm a busy guy, too. I multitask. So basically, corporations don't exist in the way they do now, where they can do evil and be unaccountable except because of government. And when people protest, like I can get behind the idea of Occupy Wall Street. I'm not assuming that you're one of those people, but that is a question that's often brought up. And usually people who are in favor of, you know, gun rights and limited to no government are, you hear them screeching against, oh, those horrible people in Zuccotti Park crapping all over our public property. And it's like, I actually think Occupy Wall Street was a pretty cool thing. I just think that they were doing the wrong thing, because Wall Street, as evil as it is not the monster. It's the shadow of the monster. The Federal Reserve and the United States government is the problem. They should have been occupying the Federal Reserve and occupying Congress, like going in and taking their seats, which you can't really do in America. But the way you can get rid of that kind of opposition, of that kind of horror of the government gun and the corporate gun to your head, is basically through attrition, by just teaching as many people as possible, learning about it, and then just reducing the demand for it. Does that answer any of your question?
I guess sort of. I think that, like, I look at, like, a lot of big corporate influence out there, like, you know, Charles and David Koch, and you have, you know, like, Wall Street bankers and, like, giant transnational corporations that funnel money into things like the Cato Institute, like Reason Foundation. I mean, billionaires that really, you have these, like, well-meaning Ron Paul supporters that, you know, just want to be left alone and stuff. But I think it's being co-opted by, I mean, huge. It's like Reason Foundation, Cato, like these free market libertarian think tanks, these giant corporations love it because they, and if you follow the money, you get where Cato gets a lot of their
stuff. I'm not a member of any of those organizations, so you're talking to the wrong guy. In my libertarian paradise, if a big companies could probably exist, probably not as big as they do now, because they would they wouldn't have the monopoly power that they do, and there'd be competition. But in my libertarian paradise, he's doing dishes again, man. The guy's doing dishes again. Oh. I'm going to have to hang up if you keep it up. It's just such bad radio, man. I would talk to you for hours, but you sound like you're, stop, man. You asked a question and then you're doing something else. I don't care if you're doing something else quietly, but you're doing it so loud, it's interrupting me answering your question. So in a corporate, in my libertarian paradise, the corporations that exist now, when they do things like poison the ground or poison the river, and they just end up paying a fine. No, in without the government, those people would be tried and hanged or tried and put in prison. There wouldn't be any of this corporate. I'm going to have to hang up, man. This guy is just, I think he's messing with us because he's just making a lot of noise. Were you hearing that, Bill?
I was indeed.
Yeah. All right. So answer his question now that he's gone and not hurting everyone's ears.
I'm sorry that our self-proclaimed democratic socialists left, because the answer that I have is a little more simplistic than yours, and that's that I am opposed to all forms of slavery.
Yeah, I want to say something really quick. If that guy's still listening, we did not hang up on him because of his ideas. He was respectful. In what he said, he wasn't screaming at us. He was asking questions. I do want him to go to freedomfiends.com about an hour and a half from now when I put the archive up, and I want him to listen to what that sounded like. That was the most obnoxious audio on a call I've ever heard.
Watch out with the superlatives, because there's always worst ahead.
So he's gone, but we can go ahead and answer his question. I mean, even if he had follow-ups, I mean, it's like you and I could answer that question for 4 hours, and we've got about 15 minutes left. So go ahead and answer his question for 15 minutes, Bill.
We could, and like you said, monopolies cannot exist unless there's a government there to erect legal barriers to competition that are enforced at the point of a gun by the highest bidding lobbying effort for the respective business to get done what they want to get done. But I would also suggest that you and I'm being presumptuous here, Mike, but I think we agree on this. At its core, we strip away everything. It comes down to you and I having an almost obnoxious indignation and abhorrence of slavery and all its variations.
Yeah, I mean, that guy described himself as a socialist and, you know, during the break said he's a liberal. He said a liberal socialist. And the thing is, socialism is set up as this, you know, that's where the left goes and the right goes to the other side, to capitalism. It's like, actually, when you take the actual definition of socialism, I mean, George Bush was a huge socialist. Can you expand on that? Do you believe
that? He was a national socialist, much like, you know, the common term is Nazi, but it was national socialism. National socialism and communism are kissing cousins. And what they agree on is that the state has to have ultimate power. What national socialism disagrees with communism in is that you don't have wholly owned subsidiaries of the companies, but you use regulation and taxation vertically and horizontally to control corporate firm behavior within the society from the government.
Yeah, and it's really hard to nail something like Occupy Wall Street, because it was such an amorphous didn't really have any bullet points, was just kind of against what was going on, but didn't seem to really understand it. But I give them A for effort for standing out there and freezing for months and getting beat up by cops. But
they love the police state.
A lot of them describe themselves as socialists. But yeah, I mean, there's a meme going around that I think nails it. You know, it's a photo taken in Zuccotti Park of a bunch of protesters, young people, hip looking, cool looking people, like, you know, people that, you know, my son would hang out with and I would have hung out with 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And there's a young guy getting pepper sprayed in the face by a cop. And I'm not talking about one of these little things like ladies carry in their purse. I'm talking about like industrial strength a quart of this stuff in the cop's hand, spraying pepper spray at a huge stream into this guy's face. And there's somebody added arrows above it, and above the, you know, hippie guy getting sprayed in the face by the mace, the arrow said, wants more government. And over the cop, it said more government, you know, because the goals of Occupy Wall Street and the goals of socialist liberalism and the goals of Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and all their ilk, their goals are more and more government. They think every problem can be solved by more laws. There are so many laws right now that the average person commits 3 felonies a day. There's a book called 3 Felonies a Day that explains why that's true. And I mean, ridiculous things that can be felonies, like, you know, having some kind of weed growing in your yard. And I'm not even talking about pot. I'm talking about some protected species grows as a weed in your yard and you pick it. I'm not talking about, like, you know, flame throwing the forest. I'm talking about literally picking a weed in your yard can be a felony. I mean, that's how ridiculous the amount of laws are. I saw a description. Well, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Our language is ridiculous. Government is a quaint euphemism for violence.
Yeah.
You know, if we started substituting that in these shows and saying violence isn't the answer, because here's another thing about Occupy Wall Street that makes my head explode. There was all the anti-war protests for Vietnam, but you know what? Once the draft went away, the anti-war protest evaporated.
They were just anti-them going. And that's not entirely true. Yeah. There were still like 3% of them that were actually anti-war. And I am absolutely anti. The tagline of the show used to be anti-war, pro-gun. And that's literally the best description of my politics I can come up with. Now, I'm not assuming that guy was an Occupy Wall Street guy. That was just an example I thought of. But he described himself as a liberal and a socialist. And I don't know how you can do anything any liberal or socialist wants to do without enacting more laws and adding more cops to threaten to point guns at people. Because a lot of people don't understand. They think, oh, we need to do something, which means we need to write more laws. We need to get representatives who will put in laws to protect this group or that group. The only ways laws are real, other than just suggestions, is if there's a threat of a cop shooting you if you disobey the law. So basically, those people just want to kill us. That's what I think.
Socialism is the serial killer and sociopathy that's enabled by the government.
And it's never, ever worked. We'll talk about that more when we come back on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the true free market, not that free market Republicans and Democrats like.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
6 drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
This is the last segment of the Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Musical Extravaganza. And Bill Buepert is our co-host today. I think he's typing. I can hear him typing. You see, you got to put your mic stand on a different table. There's some news you can use. And speaking of bad audio, Bill's is wonderful compared to our last caller. Our last caller called him. It's actually the first guy to call up and just really, he didn't even rail on us. He was polite, and I would have talked to him for an hour because he had intelligent questions and we were answering them. But, you know, I'm the Liberty professor here up at the front of the room. I don't mind if you eat in my class, but you can't prepare food in pots and pans in my class. I'm not going to put up with it. It's too distracting. And I want to say again, if that guy may think, oh, I called in and they hung up on me, but I want you to go. The Freedom Fiends archive won't be up for about an hour. It takes me a while to edit it and put it up and everything. But if you go to GCNlive.com, literally, it's in 2 hour segments, hour one and hour two MP3s. The hour two one will be up like 10 minutes after the show tops, probably more like 3 minutes after we're done talking, 5 minutes tops. Download it. That guy should go listen to the end of that, and anybody else should listen to that for just, if you missed it, for what not to do when you call in on talk radio. He was some potato eater. He's probably Irish. I'm Irish. I'm Irish and English. I'm at war with myself, I guess. So he was eating potatoes. He was making potatoes in pots and pans in the sink while, like, you know, had the cell phone up to his ear. It was just ridiculous. Bad, bad audio. I don't even like to take calls. We don't usually take calls because callers sound horrible and we sound great. We have really good equipment and we know how to use it. And I write the creamyradioaudio.com blog and tell you how to get great audio. If that guy wants to spend $60 on the best USB mic in the world, I have recommendations on there. Then he could call in on Skype and sound great. And we'd talk to him for a lot longer than that, as long as he's not a potato eater, potato cooker while he's doing it. So, Bill, in our closing segment here, explain why socialism has never worked historically and why it will never work. And if we bring up the Soviet Union, I'm sure liberals are going to say, hey, that's communism. That's not socialism. It's all just degrees on the same line, man. And socialist was in the name of the Soviet Union. One of those
Union
S's.
Of Soviet Socialist Republics.
Yeah.
It was CCCP in the Cyrillic, but it was USSR, which is Soviet Socialist Republics. But, you know, it's socialism. It's national socialism as the Nazis. It's communism, as in the Chinese and the Cubans and the North Koreans and all the rest. The main reason it doesn't work is because government supremacism relies on a few of the worst people in your society with imperfect information being in charge, politically, not economically, of distributing goods and resources and poaching on your time and your ability to produce. Absent prices and absent the signals that prices give for resource allocation, you have no clue what is the most effective and efficient thing to produce or service to provide, because prices tell you whether people want them or don't want them. Some are elastic, some are inelastic. But in the end, what socialism depends on is a police state. As Mark says on his radio program here in Arizona, I think it's Mark Stevens, he says, government is all about provisioning goods and services at the point of a gun. And as Michael has told us, depending on your level of resistance, you will be fined, kidnapped, caged, maimed, or killed by the cops for not wearing a seatbelt, not having the correct circumference on your tangerine, not surrendering one-third of your raisin crop, a current Supreme Court case that's gone before them, or any number of tens of thousands of laws that people, these books under which shelves are groaning of all these laws that have been passed. I mean, that's what government is all about. It. We made this linguistic reference earlier. Government is simply a nice colloquialism, an quaint term that you learn in government obedience class, civics, and it means violence. That's what government is. So if you were to have a conversation about government, simply substitute the word violence and you'll see how wrong you are.
That's well said. But what would you say to somebody who comes back and says, the government's good. They bring us roads and they bring us clean water. And I've never had a gun pointed at my head. You're talking crazy talk, Bill Buepert. What do you mean a gun to your head?
Well, number one, it's the intention of violence. It's the threat of violence. And it's the actual use of violence. We have the highest per capita prison population on the face of the planet. But
prison
the reason why it's about
prison
the gun
copulation.
Is because government cannot exist without violating all 10 commandments and without committing violence.
That's very true. And, yep, Freedom Fiends, that was Bill Buepert being feisty and libertarian, and I interrupted him, and I didn't mean to. But we do that. We talk over each other because it's kind of like we were cloned, but if one of us was cloned and there were two of us on the mic, we'd get in a fist fight and wouldn't talk. We're just enough different that it works. Thank you, Bill.
That's what jazz men do.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Jazz with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.